resurrection. Resurrection does not mean that we go back to the way things used to be. If we accept Christ, if we give our lives to Jesus, we're in a state, a constant state of growing and changing. And it's really called sanctification. And sanctification is a process that takes the rest of our lives until we see Jesus face to face. So we're in a constant place of growing and moving. And Easter really is Christ breaking open the tomb of your life and raising you to new vision, to new hope, to new life. And we can't let ourselves be the same. We got to go forward. We have to progressively move forward. We can't be complacent and stuck in our old ways. If you will, we'll pick up where we left off on Friday night. Grab your Bibles. Jesus had been crucified. He's been taken off the cross. He's been placed into a tomb. So open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 20, and we're going to read what happens next. So follow with me. John chapter 20, and it reads, "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him.' So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. 'Woman,' he said, 'why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Jesus said, 'Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, 'I have seen the Lord,' and she told them he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord." I don't know about you guys, but these verses should give you joy. These verses should make you happy, should make you thankful, you should be rejoiced that there is a living God who desires to have a relationship with us. Each one of us. Think about, again, if you were the only person sitting here this morning, Jesus still would have done what he did for you. Each one of you. We have a living God that desires to have an intimate and personal relationship with us. He desires to touch our lives. Jesus has risen from the dead to give us life. And every time I have somebody say to me, "He is risen," I immediately want to respond. I don't know about you guys, but I like us to get a little bit animated. I don't want you to just sit and kind of, you know, zone out in your chair. So we're going to do a little exercise, and I want to ingrain this into you as much as it has been ingrained into me. Whenever anybody says, "He has risen," what would we respond? What? truly he has risen, right? So when I say he has risen, you're going to respond, okay, but you're not going to respond like that. You're going to actually respond like you believe it. Okay? Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? A couple of you. Okay. Wow. Are you a rough night last night, right? This is your one time, you know, that in this church you can stand up and yell. Okay? I want you to convince me that you really believe this. So, Jesus has risen. I think you can do much better than that. So, really, has he really risen? Are you changed? Are you new? How about, have you been saved from the wrath of God? Have you been saved from living in eternity without him in his presence? What a horrible thought that is. But you know what? We don't have to face that. We don't have that judgment. We, you and I, look around this room, you and I, we will live in eternity forever with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, with our Creator. We will experience things that we can't even imagine. You have been spared the wrath of God. He has risen.
Truly he has risen.
He has risen.
Truly he has risen.
Okay, I want the kids in the back, I want Marianne to hear what we are saying in here, okay? So, I want everybody to stand up. I want to hear this. I want to feel this, okay? We have been forgiven. Our sins have been cleansed. Our sin and our punishment has been paid for in full by what Jesus did on the cross. And because of that, we've begun eternal life already. We are living eternal life. We are going to see each other, and this is a good thing, forever. Okay? So, he has risen.
Truly, he has risen.
Okay, excellent. That's good. That's good. You may be seated. We're going to celebrate, right? I mean, what kind of started as a somber, deep, heavy service on Friday night has really turned into this morning to celebrate. I we leave that service and I'm always sad. It's always a reflective, very contemplative, very heavy thing to know what Jesus did for us. And yet it's always a great thing to be able to come back on Sunday morning and celebrate. Because you know what, if he hadn't risen, would we be here? We'd be sleeping right now. We'd be fishing. We'd be doing something totally different. We would have no reason to be here. Right? We have a living God. We serve a living God. Jesus conquered death. And why? Why did he do that? So that we could live with him. He loved us that much that he made a way for us to be with him. If you nailed something there, be rejoiced because it's gone. He's forgiven you. And let it go. Let the guilt go. Let the shame go. Let all of that stuff go. He took it and paid for it. And now you can go forward and live your life free because you have been set free. Every one of us has been set free. You know, the Apostle Paul, he wrote so many wonderful scriptures, but I think of, you know, when we come Friday night, there are some people that don't know Jesus. There are some people that never made that commitment to him. And there's many of us, even as Christians, that we struggle with unforgiveness. We struggle with pride or you know, lots of different things. And some of us think that, you know, it's okay just to be good enough. Hey, I'm good enough. I've never murdered anybody. I've never, you know, stolen. I've never done anything really bad. But we can't get around this verse that Paul writes in Romans 3, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. How can we get around that? We can't. Every single one of us sins and needs a Savior. One sin is enough to disqualify us from from God, from living eternally with God. One sin. Isn't that amazing? I think I've committed one sin in the last hour, you know, at least, right? I mean, let alone a lifetime. We all have something we could have written down and left on that. Ephesians 2:7 says, "For it's for grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." The next time you have a conversation with somebody who says, "Well, you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this," you could say, "Oh, no, I don't. I just read Ephesians 2, and Ephesians 2:7 says, it's by grace you've been saved." If it was something you could do, you could boast about it. "Hey, I'm good. I'm good. I got it covered." No, we're not. That's pride. You've just sinned, so therefore you've just disqualified yourself. Not one of us. We will never be good enough. We can never do enough. We can never erase our sin. And because of this, God knew this, and he made a way for us. Jesus says in John 6:44, "No man comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." You know what I love about this? You're here today because God drew you here. God drew you and wants to be close to you. Nothing within your flesh said, "Hey, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to church today." Nothing. Our flesh wants the complete opposite. The fact that you're sitting here this morning is as a result of God drawing you here. And that's amazing. He's calling us. This morning, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that turn your hearts to Jesus. Don't be the same. Remember, Easter, you know, in the resurrection of Christ, changes everything. Take an inventory of your life. Say, where am I the same? Am I different today than I was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 2 years ago, 2 minutes ago? Am I different? Am I constantly moving forward? Is God doing something within me? There's three people that come to the tomb. We see Peter, John, Mary. And we see three different ways that they come. Peter, who I love, bursts right in. John kind of stands back and looks. And he sees the linens there and he believes. Peter has to go in. He has to check it all out. He has to see for himself. And then he leaves. John leaves. John leaves believing. Peter's not really sure what happened, but he's going to go find out. He leaves. One person stays, and that's Mary. She stays, and she waits. And there's something about this that blows my mind, and it encourages me that if you're asking God to do something in your life, and he's not doing it the way you want, if he's not doing it the way you think he should do it, or if he's not even answering you quite yet, be like Mary and wait. She waited. She just waited there for God to do something. And this morning, I think there's so many of us that have so many things going on in our lives that I want to encourage you to wait on the Lord until he does something, until he shows up, until he moves, until he speaks. Wait on him. Don't be quick to just leave. Just wait. What does that mean? Come to church? Get in the Word, read, pray, fellowship. Be in his presence and wait upon him. Scripture says, "Be still and know that I'm God." So this morning I want to leave you with a little bit of just a message of wait on him for whatever it is that's going on in your life and allow him to work and move in there. And he will. He will. He didn't leave Mary standing, you know, just waiting. He appeared and he spoke to her. And he revealed himself to her. This morning, wait on him. And I'm going to end the service with that message. Jesus is risen.
Truly he is risen.
You're sharp, buddy. He's risen.
Truly he is risen.
He's risen.
Truly he is risen.
Man. Okay, I'll stop. But he won't. There's one more tradition that I always finish my service with, because to me this is a celebration. Greek Easter eggs. Okay. Has anybody ever? I mean, who? I did this last year. That was the first time, right? We've done it here. Red Easter egg. This is a very, very old tradition. The Greeks, there's many stories of where this originated from, and I think the most popular one is that Mary was going and telling the people that Jesus had risen, and there was a certain Roman, I'm trying to remember what his title was, but it doesn't matter. There's a Roman emperor type guy who she was trying to tell, and he didn't believe. And he says, I'll believe if these eggs next to me turn red. And then they turn red. You know, the Greeks have, there's a lot of stories of people saying, well, I won't believe unless these eggs turn red, and the eggs turn red. But regardless, it doesn't matter where the tradition started. What we do with it is that egg is a symbol and a representation of life. And then the red, obviously, for us, would represent the blood of Christ. And so we try to get these things as red and as crimson colored as we can. But this is a Greek representation of life and the blood of Christ. And so what we do with this is we play a little game. So we're going to end our service today playing a game. Now, I'm going to pick people who didn't do this last year. So who has not done this last year? You can raise your hands. Okay, so Ben, you got to come up. I'm going to pick on you. You can, come on up. I'll do 10. Okay, you can come on up. Yep. And I'm going to pick two kids. Jesse, you haven't done this. Come on up. Two kids. Did I just say that? Sorry, buddy. Jesse, how old are you? Oh, you're my kid. My gosh, yeah. I got kids older than you. You're a kid. Celeste, you haven't done it? Okay. You haven't done it? Okay, come on up. Okay, hold on, wait. Who else has not done this? Come on. You guys all could not have done this last year. What? Did you win? Travis, have you done this? All right, you're up. Come on, buddy. You're not going to volunteer. I'm going to pick on you. 2, 4, 5. I got to get 5 more. So, April, come on up. All right, you two girls. How many is that? 2, 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not seeing you, Sharon. Get up here. All right, excellent. Okay, so I'm gonna team you guys up. All right. So why don't you all line up here? You know, so you guys can all face.